God forgave my sin. In Jesus' name, I have been born again. In Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name, I come to you to share His love as He told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received. All power is given in Jesus' name, in earth and heaven, in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name, I come to you to share His love as He told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely. Said freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Others will know that I live. Dear Lord, I seek your face in a world that cries in anguish. They reach in vain for hopes that will secure, but just to find more emptiness. Lord, grant to me the spirit of your peace, that they may turn to you and be set free. I want to live and move at your command to love. Dear Lord, you see me now as I am in my weakness. My neighbor in the darkness seeks the light. Come and fill me with yourself. I long for righteousness, and I seek for understanding. But how many times I've failed to love the lost, and kept your kingdom to myself. Lord, grant me the spirit of your peace, that they may turn to you and be set free. I want to live and move at your command to love. Lord, with a heart that cries for others, and make me a living proof to all that you still care and will forgive. Lord, grant to me the spirit of your peace, that they may turn to you and be set free. I want to live and move at your command to love. Dear Lord, you see me now as I am in weakness. My neighbor in the darkness seeks the light. Come and fill me with yourself.
This sermon's title is Being Loving and Being Wise. The ending of James 3 encourages us to embrace the wisdom from God. To paraphrase, the wisdom from the beginning, from the first, from above, is first of all clear, innocent, pure, then peaceable. It brings peace with it. Then suitable, equitable, gentle, persuadable, reasonable, merciful, leading to good actions, without prejudice or pretense or hypocrisy. And the actions that are right before God begin in peace by those who make peace. This is a beautiful expression of a person inhabited by God's love. At the same time, the opening of James 3 has a strong warning about misusing the tongue, or the human capacity for language, spoken or written. Electronic tongues are even more flammable than physical tongues, each tweet or post amplified far beyond the sound of the voice. I'll witness to the disquieting effect of Facebook, and I imagine that Twitter is more agitating. So my question is, can I find it in myself to consider the wisdom from God when I speak, in person or electronically? Can I carry out the agenda proposed by James of planting the seeds of peace, doing good actions with humility and wisdom, wisdom that is pure, peaceful, gentle, friendly, full of compassion for my near neighbor who is suffering? And how do I know what to do when I have neighbors hurting each other? Whose suffering am I to care about when opponents are both in pain? My experience says that reading the story of the good neighbor and asking Jesus how it applies to me in the moment, then listening open-heartedly to what comes to me, will lead me to an action that I believe sows the seeds of goodness in the world. One day recently, I was drawn to take another look at Jesus' answer to the question, "Who is my neighbor that God wants me to love?" And I reread the story of the good neighbor as if I were the Jewish questioner, which I probably often am. When I ask Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" I may be wanting to justify myself. I may be considering myself closer to right living than the person I would like to omit from my neighborhood. Jesus answers with a story about a nameless, faceless victim of robbery and assault, left to die, first by the robbers, then by two religious leaders. Finally, a Samaritan with a donkey comes along, and his gut is moved with compassion. He stops, pours antiseptic wine and emollient oil on the wounds, loads the wounded man on the donkey, and goes to the next inn where he leaves money to pay for his healing. For some reason, I have wanted to associate the Samaritan with being a victim in the story, but that's not accurate. Judea and Samaria were very similar. The second century historian Josephus writes that the country of Samaria lies between Judea and Galilee and is entirely of the same nature with Judea, for both countries are made up of hills and valleys and are moist enough for agriculture and are very fruitful. And what is the greatest sign of excellency and of abundance, they each of them are very full of people. In fact, like the Jews, Samaritans were also children of Abraham in ethnicity. Like the Jews, they insisted that their form of worship was the correct one, their Torah, the authoritative one, their place of worship, the one approved by God. The antagonism was mutual. There are few hostilities more intense than family feuds. And perhaps if the questioner had been Samaritan asking, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus would have made the good neighbor to be Jewish. So Jesus asks me, the questioner, to notice the agency, the humaneness, the love in someone against whom I carry significant prejudice. Specifically, Jesus asked me to notice how the person against whom I am prejudiced is doing the right thing by someone who is suffering. The challenge to me is to do the right thing also and to lay down my prejudices. The result for me personally of taking a look at this story on that particular day was this. An old and elderly friend of mine posted the meme on Facebook of how the Confederate flag has religious symbolism. My first thought was to block his posts, and I do block people whom I hardly know. The second was to unfriend him, and the third, which I actually did, was to post a fairly gentle rebuke of the meme and his posting of it, namely that whatever its origins, it is now felt as a symbol of hatred and racism, and it hurts people, and therefore it is unkind to post it as if it could be positive. One or two other people also pushed back, some less gently, and his response, as evident on Facebook, was to dig in. Then I reread the story of the Good Neighbor, and I thought, is my old friend acting defensively because he is in pain from the public rebukes on Facebook? What would a good neighbor do? So I wrote him a letter on email. I told him about my multiracial extended family. I explained how I had to stand up for them and that I found posts like his very painful to read. I asked him to please unfriend me if he wanted to continue such posts. I thought that will be a consequence he chooses rather than one coming from my reactions. And I hope my letter was in line with the wise use of language. Wisdom also shows in neighborly actions. Here are a couple of parables from our time. Perhaps the good neighbors will surprise or challenge us. Once when I took a juniors abroad trip from George Fox to Paris, we stayed in a hotel run by Algerians where a young Muslim man, Sam, told me this story. Sam had a friend who was addicted to drugs. Her baby cried all the time. One day, Sam took the baby by train from Paris to southern France, to Lourdes, where healings have happened. The baby cried the whole way there, hours and hours, and up until the moment of being blessed by the priest and sprinkled with the healing waters at the Catholic shrine of Lourdes. The baby fell asleep and slept peacefully all the way home. Sam provided me an example of the loving hand of God at work through good neighborliness that ignores significant religious differences. Sam did what he knew to do to get that child blessed. Sam had the wisdom from God, pure, peaceful, gentle, friendly, compassionate. Another parable. Maybe you saw the picture last summer of a black man carrying a white man out of a crowd at a Black Lives Matter protest in London, England. Patrick Hutchinson, the black man, told CNN that he initially saw the white man lying on some stairs in the fetal position, surrounded by protesters. At that moment, he said it didn't cross his mind that the man may be a counter-protester or hold prejudices, but he wanted to get him out safely. I have no idea who this man was. All I know is that he was there up to no good, let's just say, Hutchinson told CNN. He wasn't here to support Black Lives Matter. But when Hutchinson saw the man, he said he and his friends formed a cordon around him, and Hutchinson scooped him up to take him directly to the police. While they were marching, the man could still feel people trying to hit him, Hutchinson said. I'm carrying him. My friends are protecting myself and the man on my shoulder. He was still receiving blows. You can feel people trying to hit him, he said. There were people trying to protect him at the same time. We carried him over to the police, and I said, here you are. One of them said, thank you. You did a good thing there. Hutchinson attended the protest Saturday because, he said, history was in the making, and it was a no-brainer to support the cause. He added that he would like to break down the race barriers and for people to realize we are all one race. He said, I want to see equality for everybody. I'm a father, a grandfather, and I would love to see my young children, my young grandchildren, my nieces, my nephews, have a better world than I have lived in, Hutchinson said. The world I live in has been better than my grandparents and my parents, and hopefully we can continue until we have total equality for everyone. Hutchison said he's glad people look at the image as one of humanity and that people all over the world can learn from it. And he said especially police officers in the U.S. Just because somebody's up to no good doesn't mean you have to kill them, he said. And I think Patrick Hutchison showed the wisdom from God. Pure, peaceful, gentle, friendly, compassionate. Here's another parable from our times. Officer Tommy Norman of North Little Rock, Arkansas, considers himself a friend first to the people on his patrol route and a police officer second. When trouble arises, he does what has to be done, and he does it well, say other members of his department. But North Little Rock residents and community leaders say he performs all his official duties while still showing respect to the arrestees or suspects and allowing them to keep their dignity. In fact, he has gained such a wide reputation for the way he treats everyone that a few years ago, a man who was being sought in Little Rock in connection with another man's fatal beating and who so far had avoided capture actually contacted Tommy Norman directly and asked to turn himself in to Norman alone. Norman agreed and the man was later convicted, the officer says. Tommy Norman uses Twitter, to promote community and express his love for those whose neighborhood he serves and protects. He shows God's wisdom also. The wisdom from God, which moves us toward peace and sets goodness loose in the world, requires us to speak mindful of our neighbors. And the insight from Jesus' story of the good neighbor requires his listener and us to recognize that of God in those we want to keep our distance from, those we are estranged from, as well as in those we admire or those who are like us. We are challenged every day to recognize that we are the same kind as those others, and that both they and we can choose to be kind to each other.